If there's anyone listening to me who has never been admitted into full fellowship with God, who is carrying a great burden of sin, but you feel as though you've got to lug it around for the rest of your life because there really isn't anything else to do about it, there is something else to do about it.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the grace of forgiveness. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about salvation from sin, choosing God's way, growing in grace, and stories of grace. You've heard some wonderful testimonies of grace. Well, I'm sure that there are always a few people who are left feeling depressed and helpless after they hear other people's wonderful testimonies. And I've been one of those people myself, thinking, well, the Lord would do it for them, but I don't deserve it, and He's not going to do it for me. And it's just very easy to be disbelieving and not trusting in God. And when we look at ourselves, there's not much reason for rejoicing, is there? It's when we look at God and take Him at His word. Is there grace for your sins? Do you think perhaps that the sins that you have committed in your life are sufficient to exhaust the grace of God? Well, if that's what you think, you are really far off, because there's no way that anybody is ever going to exhaust the grace of God. Do you need grace to help you today in some particular situation from which you feel as though you can't be extricated? There's plenty of grace for you, too. In our family devotions at home, we used to go through the old hymn books, and one of the old hymn books that we used was Tabernacle Hymns, and I've forgotten how many numbers of Tabernacle Hymns there were, but I have Tabernacle Hymns number 3, page 48 in front of me today, and this was one of the hymns that we memorized when we were very young, and the words, of course, came back to me as I was preparing these talks on grace. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And the second stanza perhaps describes at least one person who may be listening to me today. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? It's my prayer that you will this moment His grace receive. Now that was an old hymn. Let me read you an old verse from Ephesians 1. Verse 7, in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. I'll read that again. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, says verse 8. He has lavished grace upon us. One day I had a phone call from a radio listener asking me if she could come and talk to me. Well, it doesn't often happen that anyone asks something like that or that I can say yes to the request, but there was something about the tone of this woman's voice and something about what God was saying to me, I suppose, that made me say, yes, you may come. And I prayed that whatever the reason for her visit was, that the Lord would give me wisdom and help. And she came. And we went into the living room and we sat down by the window. And this dear woman put her head practically in her lap and began to sob. And it took her quite a while before she was able to pull herself together and begin to tell me why she had come. She had had an abortion years before, but she realized that she was a Christian even at the time that she had had the abortion. And she said to me, if I had not been a Christian, I think God would have forgiven me. But since I was a Christian, how can he forgive me? Well, I tried to explain to her that God's grace covers all sin committed by whoever, whether we are Christians or not Christians. And I told her that I need the grace of God every day of my life. I've been a Christian as long as I can remember. But I need the grace of God. And there isn't a day that goes by that I don't sin in some way, at least by omission, if not by commission. I leave undone something that I ought to have done. But she continued to sob. She said, it's such a terrible thing. I killed my baby. I knew I was killing my baby. Well, I finally thought to point her to the ocean. That's what we were looking at. We were sitting there in the window, looking out over the vast expanse of ocean. And I said, calling her by name, and I'll just call her Jane. That wasn't her name, of course. I said, Jane, look out there. Now imagine yourself being a tiny shell on the rocks, waiting for the tide to come up, wondering if there will be enough water to fill you. If you doubt the grace of God, if you doubt whether there is really enough to cover the sins of a Christian woman who disobeys God, that is as absurd as imagining that there will not be enough water in the ocean to fill the shell. And I think she was comforted. God is not only able, by having taken upon himself all the sins of the world, the whole desperate tide of the whole world's anguish, not only able because of the cross and what he did for you and me on that cross, but he is willing, he is eager, he waits for your return. Think of the prodigal son. The father was anxiously and eagerly waiting and hoping and watching and praying for the return of his child. I want to read to you from another old writer. I love the old books, as you know, and I find all these gems, and I feel as though part of the job, a very important part of the job that the Lord has given me to do, is to be a channel of these old books that so many of you are not going to come across, and many of them are out of print, and so I think, well, this is a way that the Lord has given me of propagating this great wisdom that I find in these books. So lest you think that most of the things that I'm saying to you are original, I want you to know that I have nothing that I have not received. I'm just a channel of the riches that God has given to me through so many other people, through their writings, through personal contact with people, as well as through the Bible. So here are a few little gems. This would be Psalm 107, verses 5 and 6. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Thou hearest the hungry ravens when they cry, and to thy children shalt thou not send bread, who on thy aid alone for help rely, and in the steps of Christ alone would tread. They shall not cry for righteousness in vain, but bread from heaven thy hand shall soon supply. Are you crying to God for righteousness? Do you need forgiveness? There is no thirst of the soul so consuming as the desire for pardon. The sense of its bestowal is the starting point of all goodness. It comes bringing with it, if not the freshness of innocence, yet a glow of inspiration that nerves feeble hands for hard tasks, a fire of hope that lights anew the old high ideal, so that it stands before the eye in clear relief, beckoning us to make it our own. To be able to look into God's face and know, with the knowledge of faith, that there is nothing between the soul and Him, is to experience the fullest peace the soul can know. Whatever else pardon may be, it is above all things admission into full fellowship with God. I trust that today you may be admitted into full fellowship with God simply by your turning to Him in faith and repentance. If there's anyone listening to me who has never been admitted into full fellowship with God, who is carrying a great burden of sin, but you feel as though you've got to lug it around for the rest of your life because there really isn't anything else to do about it. There is something else to do about it. Bring it to God. Leave your burden at the cross. Give Him that heavy load of guilt that you're carrying. I've had letters from people saying, "You're laying a guilt trip on us." Well, I don't know whether that's true, that I've actually laid a guilt trip on somebody. When I read the Word of God, maybe it does cut like a two-edged sword. And it's not my purpose to lay a guilt trip on anybody, but it is my purpose to be faithful to what the Bible says. And if I have laid a guilt trip on you, you know where to take your guilt, not to Elizabeth Elliot, but to Jesus Christ. And there is marvelous grace greater than all our sin.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.